Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. We are gathered here not because we have seen fit to choose Christ, but because He has looked upon us and called us to be His own. O God, You have searched me and known me. You read my every thought from afar. There's not a word on my tongue that You do not know altogether. The joy of those who hear the call of Christ be with you all, and also with you.
Forever.
affirmation of faith. We believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. We believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. We believe that He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we have life in His name. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 4 through 12. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, yet who of His generation protested? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people He was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, though He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him and cause Him to suffer. And though the Lord makes His life an offering for sin, He will see His offspring and prolong His days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand. After He has suffered, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give Him a portion among the great, and He will divide the spoils with the strong, because He poured out His life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For He bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for Your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while You hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if Your blessings come through raindrops? What if Your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know You're near? What if trials of this life are Your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, Your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel You near. We doubt Your goodness, we doubt Your love, as if every promise from Your word is not. And long that we'd have faith to believe. if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 52. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet! He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "O great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one, so he led the man through the streets to the sea into chest-deep water. "What do you want?" Socrates asked. "Knowledge, O wise Socrates," said the young man with a smile. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates let him up. "What do you want?" Socrates asked again. "Wisdom," the man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates, wisdom." Socrates pushed him under again. 30 seconds passed, 35, then 40. When Socrates let him up, the man was gasping for air. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy, heaving gulps, the fellow wheezed, "Knowledge, oh wise and great and wonderful," and Socrates jammed him under again, this time for almost a minute, and then he let him up. "What do you want?" came the familiar question. Without any hesitation, the young man answered, "Air! I want air!" It was then that Socrates looked sympathetically at the young man gasping before him. "What you want knowledge is you have just wanted air, then you will have knowledge." In our passage this morning, we see Jesus asking the same question as Socrates. First, he asked it of two disciples, and then to a blind man. In the encounter with James and John, they came looking for prestige and recognition. Jesus told them that it was not for him to give. They asked for preferential treatment, if you will, and Jesus replied that the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. And in the midst of uproar among the disciples over James and John's bold request, Jesus reminded his disciples that in the kingdom, those who wish to be great must serve, and those who wish to be first must be a slave. In short, if you want prestige, power, and recognition in the kingdom, you don't ask for it like the young man visiting Socrates. You earn it by being baptized as servants, just as Jesus came to serve, giving his life as a ransom for many. But then, as Paul Harvey would say, there's the rest of the story. We now hear from the blind man, screaming at the top of his lungs to get Jesus' attention as he walked down the dusty road. He's not looking for prestige or recognition. He's only looking to be healed, healed from blindness. So when the crowd, probably including the disciples, tried to quiet him, he became even louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me," was his cry. And when Jesus stopped and called the blind man forward, the question reappeared again. "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man simply answered, "I want my sight." The words, "Go your way, your faith has made you well," was heard by the blind man. But then, in that very instant, Bartimaeus saw as well as he heard. The blind man got what he wanted. The disciples did not. Why? Today, there are many millions of people praying to God for something. And one of the greatest challenges to our faith is when we don't get what we're praying for. This morning, clearly, this scripture shows us that the disciples didn't get what they wanted, but Bartimaeus, he did. Could it be that this miracle was another teaching moment for the disciples, including ourselves? James and John, I am sure, heard that Jesus used the same question with the blind man as they did with him. Can you imagine standing there having that inside information? And we know that Jesus never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to. So what made this blind man's request so different? Was it the way that he asked? No, both the disciples and Bartimaeus addressed Jesus with respect. Was it what they asked for? Maybe, but in both cases, it was something that would personally benefit those people. Was it a timing thing? No, the scripture doesn't indicate what time of day that it might have been. The only clear difference that we have in these two portions of scripture is Jesus' response to the request. To the disciples, he gave them a lecture on kingdom dynamics. To the blind man, he simply said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And if we look at the other times Jesus healed, we see that he said these words often. It was in faith that kept Bartimaeus shouting and shouting over the crowd. It was in faith that he stood up and he went to Christ. It was in the sincerest faith that he asked for his sight. And Jesus replied, "Your faith has made you well." And it was done. As Christians, we need to realize that in our faith, we have something awesome. We have a love that no one can fathom, a life that can never die, a righteousness without tarnish, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed. In our faith, we have a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted. In short, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we already have it all, for all things are possible. We can seek it and find it, ask for it, and it shall be given. We can knock, and the door will be opened. Friends, it's a faith thing. The other day, I was placing an online order at McDonald's when the realization hit me. We often come to Christ with our requests as if we're ordering a super value meal. Yes, I'll have a reassurance sandwich with a side of prosperity and a large refreshing dose of hope to wash it all down. And let's supersize it. Just like the young man who came to Socrates and James and John in their request to Jesus, we come wanting it all without putting anything of ourselves into the mix. But the blind man, Bartimaeus, he laid it all on the line. He ignored the crowd, he stood up, and he made his way to Christ on faith and received his request. I've come to realize in my own life that when we ask in faith, we aren't disappointed if we don't get what we prayed for. We know that Jesus has something better in store for us. When we ask in faith, we're willing to be servants instead of people who lord ourselves over others. When we ask in faith, we give up control because we know that God has it under control. Chuck Swindoll once said that nothing under God's control is ever out of control. Praise be to God for that. It's also like the words of a Stephen Curtis Chapman song that says, "If the truth were known and a light were shown on every hidden part of my soul, most would turn away, shake their heads and say, he's got such a long way to go. If the truth were known, you would see that the only good in me is Jesus." Oh, it's Jesus. This morning, friends, I want to leave you with this. Where is your faith? When the cave-ins of life have occurred, have you been so busy looking for reasons that you've missed God's comfort? When you've needed some answers, have you been so busy looking that you've missed a faith-growing moment? When you've wanted something so much and prayed for it so hard and not received it, have you been so busy looking for explanations that you've forgotten Jesus' presence, which will never leave nor forsake? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks us. When we reply in faith, his answer will always be, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Will you join me in prayer today? Gracious God, we rely on our faith in you. Forgive us when we don't. Gracious God, we rely on our faith in you. Help us when we don't get expected answers. Gracious God, we rely on our faith in you. Strengthen our faith so that when you ask the question, we can reply with a servant's heart. Lord, be our vision. Today, we only see dimly. Help us to put our faith in the one who sees our past, our present, and our future clearly. We ask this in faith and in the miraculous nature of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who modeled prayer to us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Come on, let's sing together.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Their mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Hope of nations. Savior.
mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. Take me as you find me. All my fears and failures.
Listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.